listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ, my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Reading once more from John chapter 17, beginning at verse 20. These words of Christ, this what is called the high priestly prayer, Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. What a prayer. Let's pray that we might be included in that number. When he says, neither pray I for them alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. There's the secret. Believing the word of God. Believing it as God gave it through the prophets and the apostles. And revealed himself and Christ to them and to us. If you are included in that us, that wonderful number. Our Father, we give thanks for these words, and we beg of thee that we may have the blessing, even as spoken of the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I will write my words on their hearts, and they shall know me from the least to the greatest. We pray that, Father, for the Jews, as it is promised particularly for the house of Israel and the house of Judah. But we also may say, me too, we too, us too, that we may have it. And, Father, we do read in thy word where there is hope for that. When thou hast said that the cutting off of them was for the blessing of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. And we pray that that fullness may come. If not in our time, Father, then that it may come at a later time. And that we might prepare, that we might pray, that we might set an order, as David set an order for the building of the temple later. And we pray, Father, that we might be content in whatever state we are, and yet also know that we are in a weak state, a sinful state. As Daniel could say, to us belongeth confusion of face, as it is this day. And Father, make us to see that we have reason for that in our lack of oneness, our divisions, our carnality, our pride. We pray, Father, that we might see that we have nothing to be proud of in ourselves, but that we might think and have hope in thee and in Christ, in thy way, and thy word, and thy spirit. And Father, also those who were blessed of the past and were one in thee and one with each other, willing to die for that faith. We pray also that we might see the terribleness of the divisions and what it has done, and especially what thou hast spoken, Lord Jesus, both in wonderful promise and solemn warnings. We pray also for the temporal needs of those in sickness and injury, those in sorrow, those in lonesomeness, those in hunger, those in war-torn lands. We pray for the broken homes. We pray for the children in those homes. We pray for the workplace. We pray for the blessings in nature, especially those who are suffering in the ravages of nature. We give thanks where we have blessings and pray for those in the days and the months ahead, that there might again be springtime and harvest, that thou would give this in thy faithfulness and give it to those, Father, who have suffered in recent years and are in hunger now, suffering and dying. We pray all of this, and especially, Father, that we might learn that we are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from thy mouth through Christ. Amen. As I prayed, we ought to see the importance of every word. It is only when we see every word together that we can be one. And not only see it, as some do. Some speak plainly, this means that, and then go on to say, it's not important. Some would say that the lack of oneness is in different interpretations, and that certainly is true. There are different interpretations But I think even worse, there are different degrees of disobedience, even when we might have the same interpretation, and especially of the essentials of knowing who God is, knowing who Christ is, knowing what He has done in creation, in speaking different ways, speaking even before He came down to earth, speaking those words penned by Zechariah, "I will pour out the Spirit of grace and supplication," speaking words that may not have yet been fulfilled, as well as other words that have been fulfilled in God speaking, Christ speaking as well, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to David. David who could say, "I see the Lord always on my right hand, and I shall not be moved." All of these things are there for us, for both teaching and example. Words to be heard to make us one. We ended last week the words, the very last of the message, "that they may behold my glory." Not just so we'll be in heaven. Not just so our sicknesses and our pains will be ended. Often we hear when a person dies, well, his suffering is over. Do we begin to behold the glory of God? The glory of Christ? That is what Christ is praying for here. He prayed for many other things, but especially that when He said, "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." Everything should be and everything is for the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Creation has been given for that, and if we see it rightly, from the least to the greatest, of everything, His power, His wisdom. In nature, not a sparrow falls to the ground without His will. And He feeds them. He feeds the birds. He provides for them. When Job had to be taught, He taught him by much in nature. Read those chapters that God spoke to him, and at the end of which Job says, "I spoke that which I understood not. I lay my hand upon my mouth." He was then quiet. And we need to be. And we need to begin with the Word. Continue in the Word, as He said, "If you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And He spoke those words out of necessity. He spoke those words to those who would not continue in that Word, who would not believe further the Word that He spoke to them. And He finally had to say to them, "You are of your father, the devil." They wouldn't hear His word in completeness. They heard part. When they heard these words, they believed on Him. When He spoke to them further, they hated Him. And that's where often the division comes. We believe in part of the word, and we do not get right with God, number one. And then we can't be right with each other either, number two. The second commandment, which is like unto the first, in love. The one should make us, bring us through Christ to love God, to have a new beginning. The second should bring us to love to our neighbor as well. Even as Christ said, "Love your enemies." And that sermon is called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Love your enemies. It doesn't necessarily make us fully one with them, but it makes us much more one than if we hate our enemies. We want their good. And especially what is most needed if they are wrong. Paul writes to Timothy and says, "The servant of the Lord must not strive." Don't just fight. Even the apostles did that. They had strife among themselves in their pride. And we can have the same. Paul says, "He must not strive." That's not the place of the God servant. "But in meekness instruct those that oppose themselves. Peradventure, God will grant them repentance." Yes, we can speak the word, but God has to apply the word, make it Open the heart to receive it. Make it come with power. Peradventure, God will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. The truth makes God and us one. And all those that are in the truth will be one. If we have the whole truth, continue in the truth. Want all of it, every word. Yes, Paul's instruction goes on. When he grants them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. If there are such that we know, and we are God's children, then we know we have been there. We were taken captive by God, by Satan at his will. We had to be delivered by God. We had to be granted repentance. We had to be instructed. And now we should want them. Yes, we might love them in pity. There's others in the church we should love in agreement. And that's what Christ is really praying for here, that they may be one over and over and over four times, that they may be one. And where will that oneness end? That they will be with me. First, believe in him, taught by him, hear him continually to all that he speaks. And then the end will be that they may behold my glory. I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. He was still on earth when he spoke it, but he was speaking already as being in heaven and speaking of the end of time, that we would be with him. That which he prayed for earlier, and that which he instructed earlier, was all in time, that they might be one here on earth, that the world will know, that there would be, like the day of Pentecost, that wonderful blessing. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And that's what we need to want. Just think of all those who were there on the day of Pentecost. They beheld the apostles. At first they thought they were drunk. Something happened. They knew there was a change. They knew there was something going on. But they didn't really know what. And Paul, Peter said, these are not drunken. This is that which was spoken by Joel. And before that day took place, already for those number of days, 10 days at least, maybe longer than that, they were in one accord, in one place, in prayer and supplication. Finally, the apostles, after 3 years of instruction, and then Christ opened their understanding to the Scriptures. They might know the Scriptures, might know particularly the Gospel. They became one. One in Christ, losing self, rising with him, like baptism so wonderfully pictures. And we should give that confession in it, dying to self. All to self. Self gets in the way. That's why we're not one with him and not one with the church. We want to keep self. Self is on the throne. It must die. Paul said, and I died. And that's what baptism pictures. Death. Death of Christ, our own death. Christ's resurrection and our rising with him to newness of life. If you have newness of life, you rise up and see the rest who do too. And you will have this oneness. And we must continue in the word to have it. And if we don't, we also have warning. Christ says plainly, every house divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every house. Every house brought to desolation. When Christ was accused of casting out devils by Beelzebub, the chief of devils, his answer was, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every kingdom, not just some. And if you are divided wrongly, you will be brought to desolation. We must be brought to repentance while it's time, before we perish eternally. And never, never, never know the blessing of being with him where he is. Yes, there will be some between what Christ is teaching on earth and what he speaks of here in his glory. And that is the day of judgment when he says, I never knew you. There was a protest. Oh, we knew you. You ate in our streets and you drank and we preached and we did this. Christ says, you're workers of iniquity. All we have to do is have wrong division and we're workers of iniquity. We're opposite of love. And I repeat, in pity, in agreement, and also in respect. Respect those who have the rule over you. Paul wrote a number of times in Hebrews, obey them that have the rule over you. There is a certain way in which there are those that we have to respect and obey. Children, obey your parents. We have to respect government. We have to respect certain orders that God gives, even though he says we're all one in Christ as sinners and saints together, male and female, but still that doesn't take away the mother-child relationship, the father-child relationship, the husband-wife relationship, the government relationship. I can't say to the police, well, if you're a Christian, we're one, you can't do anything to me. He has his orders. And I have to obey them. And in our disobedience, we have to be put sometimes under punishment. Yes, sinners need to obey in all things. And as I said before, every word. And Christ gives emphasis on that word. And if we're divided on it, divided on the word itself, how terrible this good and perfect word that God says, to this man will I look who is poor. Poor. How many think we're rich? I'm right. Our church is right. Our seminary is right. We are right. If they only listen to us, if they're only with us. Well, if you're truly right, you can in meekness instruct, but not in pride instruct. Then it's gone. God resists the proud. He won't help you instruct others. In church, in home, seminary, teaching, any place, Sunday school, every place, other places in the world as well. In the place of work, there are those who are in authority, and there are those who must take orders. All God's order to make us one. Not one in children saying, I have as much right as you. One in God's word and in God's way. Sinners in Christ. If only we hear the word and believe it together, then we can stand before that word and we will know God and we will know that he has sent Christ, that we might then, through that word, overcome the world and give and be given victory, as John writes in his epistles. John writes in that First Epistle, chapter 5, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is that which begins with God. Whosoever is born of God, we can tell by a blood test if a child is born of a certain parent. We can tell by the Spirit if one is born of God. It will be the Spirit of truth. And as he says, those that are born of God love also those who are born of God. That's the test. That's the way. That's God's way. He can make us one. And he will make us one. And the proof is there by whether we hear that word, whether we believe that word, whether we obey that word. And it isn't going to rise and fall by what we think. It may rise and fall by what we do. If it's not according to the word, we will fall. If it is according to the word, we can stand and have that victory that John speaks of. The victory that overcomes the world. Yes, it is the spirit of faith, as John writes further. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith in the Son of God. Faith that Jesus, the man, is the Son of God as well as the Son of Mary. Verse 5 of that same chapter states, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? The way to know this is by the Word of God, the Scriptures. There are whole groups of people that don't believe this to be true. If you are a Jew, many of your nation do not believe that Christ has yet come, that the Son of God has been born 2,000 years ago. He has. And he is now up in heaven, having finished what Isaiah said he would do, finished what David said he would do. He would not be left to see corruption. He would not be left in the grave. He rose again. He's the ascended Savior. And the scriptures have been fulfilled that concern that. What God told Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and him, thy seed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And that seed has come. We must believe it. And we are told it from Genesis to Revelation. In fact, brings us back to God in faith, believing the word he tells us of himself and of Christ. Faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That may sound very simple, and it is very simple. So simple that Christ says, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Our way has to go, and his way has to overpower us and then guide us and put a new song in our mouth, even praise to God. In verse 6 of this 17th chapter, this prayer, Christ said, they have kept thy word. In verse 8, I have given them the words which thou hast given me. They have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. And I believe this, that thou didst send me in life. And this is life, hearing Christ in these last days. Paul says he has spoken to us in these last days. Yes, the last days. L-A-S-T, not the past days. Yes, that too. But they're not past. They're still here. And he's still speaking and saying, lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. And there's another whole part of the world. There's the Jewish part that doesn't believe that Christ has come. There's the Arab part, for the most part, that doesn't believe that he is the Son of God. Truly the Christ of God. He is. And though they may deny it, and they write otherwise, and even write a curse on us if we believe that he is Christ, the Son of God. But I must warn anyone. The scriptures are true. Christ is the Son of God. And if we are to be one with our enemies, one with Jew and Gentile, one with Jew and Arab and the rest of the Gentile world, it's going to be through the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can give life and give it more abundantly. Give it so we can come back to God in humbleness. Give it so that we can come back to God in faith, repentance, and love, obedience. And be one, that the world that hasn't yet believed will know that there's a power of God, a power of love. And the end will be, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. I say it again as last week, that they may behold my glory.
For listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise